You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
At our latest family meeting on Sunday, President Cyril Ramaphosa announced that government had set up a task team to consult on making vaccines mandatory. This is government's latest efforts to boost the number of people who are vaccinated. But here to discuss the legal implications of making vaccines compulsory, I'm joined by Michael Evans, a partner at Weber Wenzel. Michael, thanks so much for your time. I guess the question that we're all asking is that, is this within the Constitution? Can mandatory vaccination be enforced as per what the Constitution does say?
Hi, good afternoon, Fifi, and your listeners as well. Well, I think I must make a distinction. The one is whether vaccination can be made mandatory, but the second is what Cyril Ramaphosa said, and that was make them mandatory for public places or public activities. And there's a very important distinction between the two. And his comment was the latter one. It was mandatory in relation to public places and public activities. Now, to make it just mandatory throughout the whole country for everybody to get vaccinated, I think would be a difficult one to pursue and uphold in a court of law. Because you may find that somebody chooses to live in complete isolation, won't have any contact with the public, and says they elect not to get vaccinated. But the key issue is, can it be made mandatory for people entering a public place like a school or an airport or a hospital or a gym or a restaurant or a cinema or whatever? And there, I think there's a very strong argument that it can be made mandatory, and it would be extremely difficult for that to be challenged. Now, you asked Vicky about the constitutional rights, and yes, constitutional rights will be infringed if that regulation is passed by the government, because it does infringe the rights potentially to bodily and psychological integrity, and it does potentially infringe the rights to freedom of religion, belief, and opinion. But those rights can be limited. They clearly can be limited, and the factors that would be looked at would be, what is the impact on the public as a whole in those surroundings? And is there a risk to the members of the public if the person is not vaccinated? And all the medical evidence suggests yes. So if I can give you just two examples of not related to COVID that would explain it, but help explain it. Let's say, for example, parents said for religious reasons they didn't want to give their baby a blood transfusion and the baby needed a blood transfusion. The baby would be risking dying if they didn't have a blood transfusion. A court would absolutely certainly say that that child's right to life would outweigh the parent's right to freedom of religion, and they would rule that the baby should have the blood transfusion. Another example would be smoking. It's an odd example, I know, in this context, but I have a right. I'm not a smoker, but I have a right to smoke at home. And the court has said that that's part of my bodily and psychological integrity to be able to smoke at home. But I can't go out and smoke in a restaurant or a cinema or a public place because of the impact that smoking then has on the public in those places in terms of their health and their comfort. So I'm almost certain that I've been involved in constitutional law since the Constitution was passed in the 94. It's very, very likely that any court would not uphold the argument that constitutional rights allow people to enter public places without being vaccinated. They will look at the impact that it has on the health of the public and potentially on the life of the public, and they would say that would certainly outweigh those private individual rights.
So some of the companies that have announced that come the start of next year, if all their employees would need to be vaccinated, so those companies in legal standing, they are on the right side of the law.
Yes, correct. So in an employment context, it's even stronger in some ways. And I mean, my firm has made vaccinations mandatory from the 17th of January, and many other companies, you know, like Discovery, like Investec, and many others have made vaccinations mandatory. And there we have as well the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which makes it an obligation on an employer to protect the health and welfare of not only their employees, but also contractors who might come on site, clients, and everybody else. So it would also stand up to constitutional scrutiny if the employer's decision to make vaccinations mandatory were to be challenged.
But just going on those who perhaps can't vaccinate because of certain health conditions or because of their religious beliefs. But I think mainly on the health conditions, that's the area that I'm most interested in. What then will it mean for them and their rights to access some of these public places should the task team deliberate that mandatory vaccination in public places does actually come into effect?
Yeah, so that is going to be an issue that's going to be need to be considered quite carefully by the task team. And we're talking about a very tiny minority of people that for medical reasons aren't allowed to get vaccinated. Now, in the workplace context, that would be looked at by the employer, would need to be considered by the employer, and they would need to try and look for an opportunity for that employee to work in a situation where they won't be in contact with other employees. You know, many can work at home, for example, or could work in an isolated office. In public places, that's going to be something they are going to have to look at, whether a medical certificate from a doctor, it can in any way allow them to enter a public place. But again, there is a real risk then of the virus being passed on, and that would have to be weighed up. But as I say, we're talking probably about an absolutely minuscule percentage of the population who are not vaccinated, who have a genuine medical reason as to why they cannot be vaccinated.
But then if that very small portion, you know, of the population do continue and say, look, my health conditions doesn't allow me to, why should I be penalized or punished in not being able to access a public space like a restaurant, perhaps? But even if this particular individual actually is in an unfortunate situation in which they lose their work, As a result of this, will that individual have recourse to perhaps go to the CCMA?
Well, each one would have to look at it in its own terms and how they've been dealt with by their employer. But in relation to other public places, I should have said this before as well, I think one of the options for government in relation to that tiny minority of cases of people who can't get medically vaccinated would then be to require them to have a COVID test, let's say 72 hours before entering the public place. And if they can produce a negative test, then plus their medical certificate saying that they can't be vaccinated, that should be then sufficient to enter a public place. In the employment context, each one would have to be looked at on its own terms. And an employee who has medical reasons why they can't be vaccinated would have to be examined. I think it would be very difficult for that employee to remain in a situation, for example, if they were working in a mine and they were going down in a mine shaft lift, and they weren't vaccinated, and they were potentially exposing all the other members of the lift to a COVID, to COVID potentially. That would be a very difficult situation to say, yes, they're entitled to continue because of their medical situation. But working in a law firm where you can have an office on your own, you can be a little bit isolated, that would be, so it's a difficult one to weigh up on a general basis. One would have to look at it on a case-by-case basis.
Right. Now, from this conversation, I see that it is going to be quite a complex issue for the task team, and I certainly look forward to how this unfolds and perhaps a follow-up conversation when we do have a concrete plan on the table. But Michael, we'll leave it there for now. So thanks so much for your time. Michael Evans, a partner at Weber Wenzel.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.